Let's pray. Father, we come to you today, grateful for the chance to be here, Father, as we read the Christmas story today, Father. May we take it into our hearts. What a special gift this was. How it was a gift that was a gift for a lifetime. Not just a lifetime, Father, for eternal life. Father, we love you and praise you and want to bless you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, every Christmas, you know, my dad started this tradition. Always in our family, we always, oh my gosh, we read the Christmas story before we open the gifts, before we have Christmas dinner. We sit around and when my dad was alive, he read it. Then now I read it. Sometimes I get one of my grandsons to read it simply because I want them to love this story as much as I do. I want it to mean as much to them as it means to me. And I think when you listen to this story and think about that time 2,000 years ago when Christ was born, what a beautiful story this is. This is in Luke, the second chapter. I'm going to start reading in the first verse. It says, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered or taxed. This was the first registration when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, each to his own town. And Joseph also went from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill with them who he is well pleased." You know, that's such a great story. And as I was thinking about Christmas, you know, I talked about Christmas list, and then I reminded you all that we are all on God's Christmas list. Mm-hmm. We all made it because the scripture says, "For God so loved the world Anybody in this world God loves. And so as I was thinking this week about just what I wanted to share for a minute, I thought about some things that I wanted for Christmas. You know, every year, you know, you have some things that you'd like to receive, and if somebody's giving you a gift, many times they'll ask you, give me a list of some things that you might want to have. When I was thinking about this, I was going to make a list. I thought one of the first things I wanted to put on this list is I'd like to learn how to prioritize. Learn how to put first things first. Because sometimes I'm not very good at that. You know, one of the hardest things about being a minister is it's not studying and preparing a sermon and sitting up on Sundays and preaching. That's not the hard part. That's the part I look forward to. It's not doing weddings and funerals. That's not the hardest part. Mm-hmm. The hardest part for me is to know how to use my time well. Knowing where I'm needed the most, where I need to go, knowing how to prioritize my time and how to work smarter. You know, that's not just the case with pastors. That's with any career that you have, whether you're a truck driver or whether you're a doctor or an attorney or a teacher or an architect, whatever it is, it's important to know how to use your time well. As a parent, it's very hard sometimes to prioritize your time as a parent. I can't tell you how many times I have had a situation where my family needed me and my job needed me, and you have to sometimes to choose. You have to learn to balance it. You have to learn to put first things first. You know, you've all heard that. It's called the Serenity Prayer. Mm-hmm. You see it all the time on plaques and walls. And mm-hmm. On it, it says, "Oh God, give me the serenity to accept mm-hmm. what I cannot change, the courage to change the things which should be changed, mm-hmm. and the wisdom to distinguish from each other." Mm-hmm. I'd also like to have a prayer that went something like this: "Lord, grant me the wisdom to know the important things in life, and to learn to do the important things first, to put the important things first." Mm-hmm. When it comes between your work and your family, what should come first?
Family.
You know, and sometimes you can put so much importance on work and doing other things that we just push family aside. That's what Christmas is supposed to teach us. Listen, there are things that we need to learn at Christmas time to prioritize. Things like love and grace and faith and kindness and hope and trust and tenderness and truth and forgiveness. Now, I don't know a whole lot about all of these things, but what I do know, I learned at church at Christmas time. One of the things I'd like to receive for Christmas was the ability to be able to put first things first. Another thing I'd like to receive at Christmas, I'd like to learn to be more gracious and loving. Sometimes we get the wrong approach about things in life. We react instead of respond. We think of ourselves too much, and we think of other people too little. We trust in power too much, and too little in love. We think so much about what others will do for us, and so little about what can we do for somebody else. I know a woman, when I was getting this together, I thought about a woman. You know, lots of us collect things. We can collect stamps and rocks. My sister-in-law collects roosters. Not real roosters. She has glass roosters, and they're all over her house. I never got that, but there's just something about roosters that really excite her and really make her happy. I mean, we all collect some things. This lady I'm talking about, she collects insults.
What?
Every time I talk to this person, she always has a story to tell me how somebody hurt her feelings, how somebody did something to her. She's an insult collector. She never forgets anything that somebody has done to her. Not just women are like that way. Men do that too. We always have our feelings hurt. We're always thinking that somebody doesn't like us. We always think that people are laughing at us, you know. It's to the point where we collect these insults, and we can bring them up in a minute. You know, every time we talk about somebody, we never have anything good to say about anybody. All we ever talk about is how somebody has hurt us or said something ugly to us. Now, we've all had things ugly said to us, but that's not something we should be collecting. I also know people who hold grudges. These are the kind of people that if you ever did them something wrong to these people, you better watch out, because sooner or later there's going to be an opportunity where that person is going to get a chance to get back at you. There's no forgiveness there, you know. It's just holding on to grudges. That's a terrible way to live your life. It's a terrible philosophy to live by. Listen, when Christ came down, it was love that came down on Christmas. Mm-hmm. Because we talked about last week, praise God, God is love. Grudges didn't come down. It wasn't pettiness or hostility or insults. It's love that came down. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to be looking at Christmas time, and not just Christmas time, but all the time. Amen. That's what Christmas really should remind us of, that we shouldn't be holding grudges, we shouldn't be collecting insults, we should be trying to love people just like they are, Amen. For what they are. Mm-hmm. Finally, when I was going to make this list, I thought, one thing I truly want from God is that I'd like to feel God's presence more in my life.
Amen.
You know, in this story we read, Christ came into this earth because there was no room in that inn. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately today there are so many people who just don't have room for Jesus in their lives. Mm-hmm. They've crowded their life with so many other things that they just don't have room for Jesus in their life. We don't feel God's presence so much anymore because we don't take time to ask for God's presence in our lives. We slam the door on the one person we need the most. I read a poem this week that speaks to this. It says, "O little inn of Bethlehem, how like we are to you. Our lives are crowded to the brim with this and that to do. We're not unfriendly to the king. We mean well without a doubt. We have no hostile feelings. We merely just crowd him out." And that's I think so many of us have gotten our lives so crowded. We got so many other things that the presence of Christ in our life is just being crowded out. And I would like to think that as a gift from God for Christmas, that I would feel His presence more, that I wouldn't just crowd out the presence of God in my life. We all want to feel God more. We all want to be part of what Christmas means. I'd love to be able to talk to you next year at Christmas time and tell you that I received my Christmas gift, that I learned to prioritize. I learned to put first things first. I learned to be more gracious and loving. Quit worrying about what other people thought about me and thought more about what I can do for other people and what God thought about me. Mm-hmm. I wish that I'll be able to tell you that God has been a bigger presence in my life in 2018 than He was in 2017. Mm-hmm. God's important to us,
amen.
But He's got to be the most important. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you at this Christmas time, we feel so overwhelmed sometimes at this season. So much going on. So many things happening. So little time to do all the things that we need to do. Father, I pray that we will learn to put you first, to put God ahead of everything. Father, that we'll learn to be more gracious and loving with the people that we meet each day. It's hard, Father, sometimes to love people when they don't seem to love us back, but Father, you require that of us. You demand that of us because you loved us even when we don't love you. Even before we loved you, Father, you love us. You never love us any less than you do now, Father. You love us from the beginning and to the end. Father, may we be closer to you in 2018 than we were this year. As close as we may have been this year, Father, we can get closer. We can be more Christ-like. Simply by following the examples of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for this group of people here today. Bless them, Father. They mean so much to my family, and they mean so much to you, and we mean so much to each other. And Father, may we grow closer and closer together. This next year, may we always be grateful for all the blessings that you give us. Father, what a blessing it is today to be here and these people coming and sharing their gifts, their time, their efforts with us. Father, may we be so grateful and gracious to these people that we overwhelm them with thanks. Father, I pray that as we celebrate your son's birth, that we will always, always think about you at this time of the year and think about what a gift you gave us. And Father, we appreciate that for the rest of the year. In Jesus' name I pray.